Okay, so this reconvenes the public board meeting of August 22nd, 2019. It is now 2:38. This is Nancy Young Oliver, board chair.
Stuart Morris, board vice chair.
Joe Sullivan, board member.
Julie Nadeau, board staff.
Anthony Truong, board staff.
Chase Robinson, board member.
Scott Wright, board member.
Deanna Franco, board member public.
Joel Parks, board staff.
Kimberly Fast, executive director.
Angie Hunt, board legal counsel.
Diana Fells, OAIA. Sherry McPherson, OSCPA.
Ken Charles Mello, OSCPA.
All right, welcome. Okay, I believe that we are on number five of our public meeting agenda. Consent agenda recommended to close reporting inquiries.
Make a motion to accept the consent agenda.
I'd like to make a motion to accept the consent agenda for item 5A.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay. All right. No discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay. Motion carries. Consent agenda recommended to close inquiries.
I'd like to make a motion to recommend that the consent agenda for 5B
be adopted.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? Okay, hearing no discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Other motions, compliance with settlement agreements?
I make a motion in a matter of case 18-010 to withdraw the notice to revoke and prior violation finding.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? Hearing no discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries.
Okay.
Consideration of settlement proposals.
Well, no, we have other cases from executive session.
Right?
It's not here.
Okay, so other cases.
All right, like to make a motion, or case number 18-013, motion to find sufficient.
Administratively
close. I'm sorry, administratively close the case.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? Hearing no discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carried.
Case number 18-046. Make a motion to find a sufficient violation of OAR 801-030(1)(1)(b). Due professional care for filing a client's return without a proper 8879.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Case number 18046. I'd like to make a motion to find insufficient evidence for violation of OAR 801-030-0010(1)(b) due to professional care for not timely resolving clients' issues with the Department of Revenue.
I'll second it.
So this is for insufficient evidence, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Case number 18046, I'd like to make a motion to find insufficient evidence for a violation of OAR 801-030-0015(2)(b)(8) for untimely providing records to client.
I'll second the motion.
Further discussion? All in favor for insufficient evidence, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
I think that's a big B rather than an 8.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, it is, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Well, it looks like an 8.
No, it's really little.
It is little. All right.
Case number 18021. I'd like to make a motion to find sufficient evidence for violation of OAR 801-030-0010 sub 1 sub B for a violation of professional care in preparing and filing returns with an invalid P10.
I'll second it.
Further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? Aye. One. Okay.
Case number 17038. I'd like to make a motion to find sufficient evidence for violation of OAR 801-030-0010 sub 1 sub B professional care and or a violation of OAR 801-030-0010 sub 4 for filing tax returns without authorization.
I second it.
Further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion passes.
Case number 17038. I'd like to make a motion to find insufficient evidence for violation of ORS 673.320 sub 3, use of the term CPA for holding out while in lapse status.
I'll second it.
Further discussion?
This is insufficient.
This is insufficient. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Nay.
Nay.
Okay, so we have, is it 3-3?
It's 3-3.
So nays are Nancy,
Scott, and Stuart.
Scott and Stuart. So motion fails.
Well, it doesn't fail.
Oh, it doesn't it fail. Never mind.
Just doesn't do anything.
Sorry.
Case number 17038. I'd like to make a motion to find sufficient evidence for violation of OAR 801-030-0010 sub 7 sub little c subsection big A board communications and investigations not cooperating with such.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Case number 18-017, like to make a motion for insufficient evidence to find a violation of OAR 801-030-0010 sub 1 sub B professional care for not performing compilation and review engagements.
I'll second that.
Further discussion? All in favor for insufficient evidence say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Case number 17025, I'd like to make a motion to find insufficient evidence to find a violation of OAR 801-030-0010 sub 1 sub B professional care in auditing standards and performing municipal audit services.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Nay.
Case number 18014, I'd like to make a motion to find insufficient evidence for violation of OAR 801-030-0010 sub 1 sub B for professional care and or OAR 801-030-0010 for filing extensions for clients who were not firm clients.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion?
And this is insufficient?
Insufficient.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
Nay.
So how many nays?
Nancy, Scott, and Jason.
Call for a revote, please. Finding insufficient evidence.
Okay. So for a vote of insufficient evidence, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay.
Nay.
Okay, so.
Oh, wait. Sufficient for a violation.
Okay, so I think maybe we need to change the motion. I think is maybe what we need to do is change the motion.
So we need to withdraw the.
Withdraw the prior motion and redo it. So case number 18-014, to find, like to make a motion to find sufficient evidence for violation of OAR 801-030-0010 sub 1 sub B, professional care, or OAR 801-030-0010 for filing extensions for clients who were not firm clients.
I'll second it, but let's call this, can we read the sufficient or insufficient?
Sufficient.
Sufficient. Sufficient. Okay, so for a vote of sufficient evidence, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Aye.
Case number 18-045, I'd like to make a motion to find insufficient evidence for violation of OAR 801-030-0010 sub 1 sub A, professional confidence, and or OAR 801-030-0010 sub 1 sub B, professional care in the preparation of her client's business tax returns.
I'll second it.
Further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Case number 18-045, I'd like to make a motion to find insufficient evidence for violation of OAR 801-030-0020 sub 7 sub C, board communications and investigations for not properly responding timely to board requests.
I'll second it.
Further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
Okay, case number 17-051. I'd like to call for make a motion for insufficient evidence for violation of OAR 801-030-0010 sub 1 sub B, professional care for the untimely filing of an amended federal income tax return beyond the statute of limitations.
I'll second it.
That was insufficient.
Insufficient. Further discussion? For a vote of insufficient evidence, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed?
Okay. Case number 18-002, I'd like to make a motion for a finding of insufficient evidence for violation of OAR 801-030-0010 sub 1 sub B, professional care for not responding to client communications.
I'll second it.
Further discussion? For a vote of insufficient evidence, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Case number 18-002, I'd like to make a motion to find insufficient evidence for violation of OAR 801-030-0010 sub 1 sub B, professional care for errors when preparing clients' returns.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? For a vote of insufficient evidence, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Nay.
Case number 18-012, I'd like to make a motion to find insufficient evidence for violation of OAR 801-030-0020 sub 12 for entering into a settlement agreement with his client which may have inhibited his client from cooperating with an investigation by board.
I'll second it.
This is read that one back.
That was on the first one.
Are you saying insufficient evidence?
I said insufficient, but it should be sufficient, so I can reread it into the record if you'd like.
Yeah.
Case number 18-012, I'd like to make a motion for a finding of sufficient evidence for violation of OAR 801-030-0020 for entering into a settlement agreement with prohibited language.
I'll second it. Question?
Yep.
Okay, we've got two on that.
Yeah.
So I think we need to clarify which one we're voting on.
Yeah, remember that.
Was messed up.
Yeah, ignore this line.
Well, just want to make sure we're on the same page.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. Any further discussion on that? Okay, for a vote of sufficient evidence, say aye.
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 Those opposed?
Case number 18-012, I'd like to make a motion to find sufficient evidence for a violation of OAR 801-030-0010 sub 1 sub B for professional care for not filing clients 2012 and 13 tax returns timely.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion?
And this is sufficient, right?
This is sufficient. For a vote of sufficient evidence. Any further discussion? Those in favor say aye. Okay, those opposed, say nay.
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 Okay.
Case number 18-012, a motion for sufficient evidence for a finding a violation of OAR 801-030-0015 sub 1 for retaining files for clients at some place other than his client's office.
I'll second it.
Sufficient.
So, sufficient evidence? Okay, is there any further discussion on this? Okay, for a vote of sufficient evidence, say aye. Those opposed, say nay.
Nay.
Case number 18-023, I'd like to make a motion for a finding of sufficient evidence for violation of OAR 801030-0010 sub 4 and or OAR 801030-0010 sub 1 sub A for tax standards and professional competence for preparing and filing 2014-2015 1120S tax returns.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? For a vote of sufficient evidence, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Case number 18-023, make a motion for sufficient evidence to find a violation of OAR 801030-0020 sub 2 for failing to timely report an action against.
I'll second it.
Further discussion? All in favor for a vote of sufficient evidence, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Case number 19-005, make a motion to find sufficient evidence for violation of OAR 801-030-0010 sub 1 sub B, professional care for not adequately representing clients in an appeal with the Department of Revenue.
I'll second it.
Further discussion? All in favor for a sufficient evidence, state aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Case number 19-005, make a motion for finding of sufficient evidence for violation of OAR 801030-0015 sub 2 sub B for not returning clients' records.
I'll second it.
Further discussion? For a vote of sufficient evidence, state aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Case number 19-005, a motion for finding of sufficient evidence for multiple violations of OAR 801-030-0020 sub 7, board communications and communications for not timely responding.
I'll second it.
Further discussion? All in favor for a sufficient evidence, state aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Case number 19-016, a motion for insufficient evidence to find a violation of OAR 801-030-0010 sub 1 sub B, professional care for the untimely filing of an amended return.
I'll second it.
Further discussion? For a vote of insufficient evidence, state aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
In the matter of agency case number 18-004, I make a motion to administratively close the case.
Second.
Case number 18-004. I got it.
Okay, second. Any further discussion? Okay, for a vote to administratively close the case, state aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed?
Case number 18-050, a motion to administratively close the case.
Second.
Any further discussion? State aye to administratively close the case.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed?
Case number 18-051, a motion to administratively close the case.
Second.
Any further discussion? State aye to administratively close this case.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed?
Oh, yeah. In the matter of agency case number 19-017, I make a motion for the board to proceed with the firm's initial registration.
I'll second the motion.
Any further discussion? All in favor, state aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
Further, in the matter of agency case number 19-017, I make a motion for finding a violation of sufficient evidence for a violation of OAR 801-010-0345, parent 2, out-of-state firms with respect to performing engagements in the state of Oregon without being registered.
I'll second it.
Further discussion? Those in favor of sufficient evidence, state aye.
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 Those opposed?
Lastly, in the matter of agency case number 19-017, I make a motion for a finding of sufficient evidence of a violation of OAR 801-020-0062, parent 4, for conducting and working on municipal audits while not in, registered with state as municipal, but with adequate municipal license.
I'll second it.
Further discussion?
It was 0620.
Yeah, 0620, yes.
For a vote of sufficient evidence, state aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
In the matter of agency case number 19-018, I make a motion for finding of insufficient evidence for a violation of OAR 801-030-0020, parent 1, professional misconduct with respect to compliance with a settlement agreement.
I'll second it.
Further discussion? For vote of insufficient evidence, state aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Okay. Did we get everything on the list? Thank you. Thank you. Okay. All right. Okay, I think we're to item 7.
Six.
Oh, consideration of a settlement proposal. Case
17-023. Okay, so the board previously voted that Ms. Wheatley was out of compliance with her settlement agreement. The settlement agreement is in response to that vote, and it prohibits her from doing compilation and reviews with civil penalty state.
In the matter of agency case number 17-023, Wheatley and Wheatley CPAs LLC, I make a motion to accept the settlement agreement and stipulated final order as presented to us.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion?
So in essence, we're unstaying what had been stayed before. Is that correct?
Yes.
And then she paid what was previously supposed to be paid. Is that correct? We only stayed a portion of the penalty before. Mm-hmm. So did she pay what she was supposed to pay in the first place?
Do you have confirmation on that?
She did pay before. Yeah.
Okay, so she paid what was not unstayed before, and now we're just going to collect the rest of what had been stayed.
No. We're not collecting anything this time. It's just we're prohibiting her from doing a test and compilations as part of the settlement agreement. But we are staying additional funds.
That fund is staying. Okay.
That's right.
Okay. Okay, so let me just see if I can repeat this. We had a previous settlement agreement in which we agreed to stay a portion of the penalties if she complied with the agreement. She paid the portion that she needed to pay at that time, but has not complied with the rest of the order. So we are going to prohibit her from performing compilations and reviews.
And a test.
And a test work. Did I state that correctly?
Right.
Okay.
So in the paragraph says we suspend the collection. Is that, how does that legally compare to staying, I guess? Is any way prohibit us from somehow then in the future trying to collect?
No.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, Scott, can you...
restate the motion.
Can you restate the motion? Sorry.
I make a motion in the agency case number 17-023 in the matter of Wheatley CPA LLC to accept the stipulated agreement, the settlement agreement, and stipulated final order as presented to us.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor, state aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay. Okay, item 7, review of the public board summary from May 13th. And so this was handed out to us through the board members.
That's the executive.
That's the executive.
I don't want to give you the material.
Okay. So were there any comments on the public board summary from May 13th? Right, very none. Is there anything we need to vote on? Okay. All right. Report from the OSCPA.
Thank you. And I'll keep our comments brief. Snowing time is of the essence. So a couple things on the behalf of the OCPA. Very busy legislative session this year. Pleased to support the board as far as the budget hearing that went this year. But just a number of motions, especially on the tax front, that occurred. So very, very busy season for us this year. Sherry and I met with a couple of you down at the NASCAR regional meeting. I know they'll be discussed later in the meeting, but did want to express our gratitude for attending that. For me especially, moving into this new role and my introduction to the board overall was a very beneficial time for me. So I very much appreciate that and very worthwhile. You'll see an invitation coming out very soon for our professional issues update. That will be held on Tuesday, December 3rd. And so the details surrounding that will be in that invitation that you'll receive shortly. Additionally, the OCPA has begun the development of our 2020 and 2021 professional development curriculum. And so more details on that will follow, but that development is underway at this point in time. We've additionally provided comments on the CPA evolution that was proposed. Just so you'll know, the response was provided with support of principles 1, 2, and 3, but we did oppose principles number 4 and 5 that were proposed in the evolution. And then finally, we are finalizing a response as well currently to the AICPA and NASBA's National CPE Standards Standards Exposure Draft. So again, that will be coming out shortly as well. We're going to finalize the stages there. Not sure anything else you want to do.
Thank you, Charles. Thank you. Any questions from the board to OSCPA? Okay. Report of the OAIA.
So it's seminar season here at the for us over at OAIA. We have several seminars coming up that are keeping us very busy. Here at the end of August, on August 28th, we have a chapter meeting that covers LTC ethics. We have a two-day business tax seminar coming up in September. As well as at the end of October, we have estates and trust seminars covering federal, Oregon, and state estate law. So we should keep us very busy.
Great. Any questions of the OAIA from board members? Okay. All right. So item 10, report of chair, confidentiality agreements and non-disclosure agreements. So we will be passing out and asking you to read through and assign a confidentiality agreement. Okay, so just for the public record, I'll read this out. So on the confidentiality agreement, the board member will maintain confidence of all information obtained, whether received in written, electronic, graphic, or verbal form. Board member will not use access to confidential information for personal use or benefit in any way. Board member will not discuss or provide copies of the contents of confidential information to parties outside of the agency. And so this was specifically in response to having attended the NASDA conference and having a session on confidentiality and conflicts of interest. The second one that you'll be completing will be the disclosure of involvement in other committees, boards, and associations to make sure that there's not a conflict with board members sitting on the board, making sure that at all times the board members are representing the board's business first and foremost. Any questions? All right, report of the vice chair.
I have no report.
Okay, quarterly treasurer.
All right, I think everyone should have a copy in their handouts. Report of cash flow for almost the full biennium. If you've looked at it in detail, things are great. Notably, working capital is in a very good position. I think it's almost at 24 months, so higher than target. If there's any specific questions, Kimberly can ask them, but otherwise, things are great.
Okay. Any board members have any questions regarding?
Yeah, we'll end up in the meeting.
Kimberly, can you just comment on the types of employee training staff are able to receive?
Okay. So we pay for our investigator CPE.
Okay.
So that's part of the training. We have signed several people up to attend the Attorney General's Law Conference in
October.
Those are always really valuable. Julie and I are right now taking an 8-week course. Is that right? 8 weeks? 8-week course on management and leadership. And we've gone to one. We're actually missing our second today, so we'll have to do a makeup course, but that's okay. So that's pretty much it. I don't know if training goes into our NASBA conferences. Is that coded as a training when we go to NASBA?
No, professional development.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's what our training is.
Okay. And the professional services line item,
mm-hmm.
what gets charged to that line item?
Professional services are our calligrapher, our you're going to know better than me because I don't do bills anymore. I don't code them anymore. But let me just think about this. Sorry, I'm drawing a blank.
Well, early on that would have been, we would have coded outside investigators there, right?
Mm-hmm. I just want to get a general idea of what goes into that. So. Okay. All right.
Sorry, I can get back to you on that.
Okay. Any other questions regarding the financials? Okay, let's move on. The report of the executive director, including an update on the vacant position.
Yes. So, like Nancy stated, Scott, Nancy, Deanna, and I attended the regional meeting down in Utah, over in Utah. The conference focused on changes to the CPA exam. They're calling it the CPA Evolution. Sherry or Charles mentioned that they have some feedback pieces, which is in your packet, that they want us to respond to and their core principles, and I can go over that in a little bit. I thought it was a really good conference. I think we all learned a lot, and we were networking quite a bit, so it was successful. But if you want to chime in on anything that you thought was important for either of you two, that would be great. They also went through their CPE audit tracking tool that will allow CPAs to log in their CPE as they go. I don't know all the information on that piece yet, on how we can implement that into our system, but we may need to wait until we have our new IT solution before we even kind of look into that. But I don't know all the ins and outs of it yet. I kind of know high level. We are, as most of you know, and if you don't already, Teresa Gahagan accepted a new job over at State Management Accounts Receivable. And so we have a recruitment out there, which will, it was up for 3 weeks. The deadline to respond is August 26th, which is Monday. Sherry's group was nice enough to publish it on their job, new job posting site, so it went, I think you said nationally, and so it spread. I also asked NASBA to post it on there to all the state boards as well, so I'm anxious to see the response. This is a hard position to recruit for because we require an active CPA license and a bonus if you have investigative skills, and sometimes those two don't go hand in hand, so we'll see what happens. I should get my list. I will probably get my list of interested applicants either late the 26th or for sure by Tuesday, usually, but it depends on all of their, I'm so sorry. It's a school orientation day. So as soon as I get the list, I'll share with you what I found out. We also are still seeking an additional member to replace Candy's position on the board. We have some interest, but we are still working through those. So if you know anyone that you think would be a good fit, please send them my way, and I will chat with them to convince them that's going to be a great opportunity.
And just a comment on that, you know, it'd be nice to see a little bit more diversity on the board, so just something to consider as you're putting forth the candidates for consideration to be on the board.
We have just darn near completed our 2019 renewal. I'm really proud of the licensing team. We had full staff this year, which we haven't had in quite some time. We made a goal to complete all processing of renewals by August 16th. That gives us a buffer of time for people to respond if they had any problems with their renewals before that August 29th deadline where we're starting to lapse, you know. So I think our number is going to end up about 480 people that lapse. That's typical. It's really typical. I know, but it isn't. I think about 95 of them voluntarily resigned, and some just didn't return their renewal. So that number may change when they realize they're lapsed and they're like, oopsie, I need to reinstate now. So there's that. So not all is bad. We send out a pre-audit with the renewal. So we did a 15%, I want to say. 10%. 10% of our population that was renewing, active or inactive, since retired doesn't have to do CPE. So we've gotten through 95% of them at this point. After the renewal season closes, we will send out a post-audit, CPE audit, and that will go out around first part of October. And then what's not in this report is then we are also going into firm renewals in early November. So it's a busy time. Julie and I are also part of a group that met a couple weeks ago to set requirements for the state for licensing systems. And it was and it was really beneficial. We had some good people on the team talking about what, they're all small boards, so we were part of that. We are still working on the requirements, and we're just kind of going through the process slowly but surely. So if you have any questions, I'll let you know.
New business?
New business. That's me too?
Yes.
Okay. There, NASB is having their annual meeting held on October 27th through the 30th. I believe in your supplements we gave you the tentative agenda. It's in Boston. So we need to decide who wants to go. This one's going to be interesting because it's going to be chiming in on that CPA evolution, which is a big deal right now. And some other good topics. I don't know if you had a chance to review the agenda, but there's some good items on there. So,
And historically, it's just been the president, the current chair, and the executive director that go. Is that not correct?
I don't know I've never been to an annual, but I would like to attend this one just because of the content.
Mm-hmm. Is there somebody else who would like to attend? And I'm not able to go. At the end of October. So if there's somebody else who would like to go and attend, I think we should send at least one other person. Scott?
I would, but I've been before. If somebody else who's not been there would like to go.
I feel kind of selfish being the new guy on the block. Yeah.
Well, but you get to go for free.
Well, that's the regional meeting probably.
Yeah, that's
the introduction meeting.
Well, the only thing that I would say, so we will definitely be sending, bringing up the regional meeting. I think for this one, I think, Scott, just because of your history on the board and the other thing, I prefer to have you go out this time just to be able to, having that history. It's not that I appreciate the willingness, but definitely when we have the regional next year, we'll be looking to send you.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a good conference.
June 2nd through 4th next year.
So you know that already?
It's out on their website, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool, I didn't know that.
I checked last week and it was on the website, their website.
Yeah. It took forever to post the last one. So. Yeah.
I was surprised.
Nice.
Yeah.
Beautiful there.
Kim, did you do 13B or are you skipping? Report for the NASA region meeting. I kind of covered in my report, but if you guys want
I was going to say I had some other things to add at that
please.
Point too. So for my take, a couple of the big items were certainly the CPA evolution piece and what that amounted to. And just as an aside, I personally sent in my response to their guiding points. I told them it was purely my position as an individual, not with respect to the Oregon board, nor with respect to my firm. So I did respond to that as well. There was also a fair amount of discussion of, I'll use my words, what seems to be a growing tide of anti-regulation. The attacks on regulatory boards, that it has been, again, this is my summation of it, has been fairly organized where there are groups that are dealing on a national level trying to take on regulatory boards. Statistics that in 1960, 30% of the jobs you had to have some sort of license, and nowadays it's like 70% of the jobs have to have license, something like that. The idea that the government is regulating too many things and equating regulation of our profession to cosmetologists, for example, or hair weavers or whatever, and there's a broad attack. Whereas, and I think it came out, I think I saw something from the IACPA, maybe it was NASBA, where they put it on the public notice, but they were talking about developing a coalition of organizations such as NASBA and the IACPA to counter that organized assault, again, my term, on regulations, and helping to defend and get the language out there and why certain regulations are important, for example, whether it be our profession, doctors, attorneys, and whatnot. So there is a pushback happening at that point. And as far as the legal update, which sometimes can be really pretty scary, but I don't remember anything particularly in the legal update this time that made me give me pause or worry about things that would be blowbacks to the board as a whole or individual members along the way. a variety of other things along the way, but those are the ones that I think were the most interesting and I think most meaningful to this group.
And just a follow-up to that, Scott, there was an email that came out the other day that NASBA and AICPA have joined forces to kind of fight through this anti-regulation piece, so we are protected somewhat there.
So I'll just follow up real briefly as the public member and the new kid on the block at the regional meeting. I was particularly interested in the commentary and the breakout session from the state that our group, our region, about the CPA exam as somebody that is contemplating looking at it in the future. And having had taken a professional exam in the past to do my own profession, and looking at what the CPA, you know, the NASBA and the AICPA are looking at doing with that exam, the pushback by the professionals, and I would say rightly so, I just don't know where it's going to go. And unfortunately, not being a CPA, I can't throw my two cents into the ring about it, despite that I would like to.
Although you will as a regulator, because, I mean, ultimately, the CPA certificate belongs to us, to this board, not NASBA, not AICPA. And, I mean, I had a bit of a conversation with Kathleen Salazar, our regional director, is they can change it all they want, but we as the Oregon CPA board in California and Idaho, they're the ones that set the requirements of what it takes to become the CPA, and including whether the CPA exam is necessarily the piece that you have to do along with education and ethics and everything else. So, I mean, they do have to, in my opinion, they do have to convince the 57 jurisdictions that this is an evolution of what the CPA can be, and changing the exam or whatever is fine and wonderful, but if we as the boards don't accept it, it's really going to be an impasse of what happens at that point. So, mm-hmm. Again, I appreciate what you say, but ultimately you're going to have an input on it, because right. We would be looking at, say, the CPA exam no longer works for us, for example, mm-hmm. potentially. Or it's beautiful. We love the evolution of it.
Scott, was there somewhere I read that they were looking at expanding the CPA license to include
I mean, there were numbers thrown out, like 80% of most of the test teams are not made up of CPAs nowadays. Mm-hmm. Questions as to what that makeup is, that there's much more reliance on data analytics and big data and technology, understanding of systems that... that the CPA, taking it to the next level, the CPA exam is now asking a question, for example, on derivatives that very few people use, but more and more people will be using data analytics and technology, and whether there should be more time spent on that. And one of the pieces that really caught my attention was that, as I understand how they were talking about it, the CPA exam could evolve whereby the CPA exam could have modules that, if I'm going into data analytics, I will take this piece of the exam and they will ask me few or no questions regarding income taxation. Or if I'm going into income taxation, I will answer this part of the exam and I'll not deal with pieces with respect to audit. I mean, I may be taking it too far, but there was discussion of having modules that you could self-select which ones you wanted to take to get to pass the exam.
So
with emphasis.
At that point then have modified... certificates then?
No.
Analytical CPA?
Nope.
And so here's, you know, this I think was a really hot, sensitive,
yes.
Very, very charged discussion at the NASBA conference, because one of the main drivers for this, and I'm not going to throw out names, but was saying, oh, you know, in my firm I have a person who's an IT person. Okay, well, you know, they want to be a CPA. Well, Our and everyone's raising their hand saying, you know, we've got IT people too, and they don't want to be CPAs, but they want to be recognized by their firm as valuable. So there's a difference between, you know, is it really necessary to let IT people become CPAs, or is the problem really with the CPA firm not recognizing the value of a highly credentialed IT person? If you are an IT person, there are a slew of credentials out there. The CISA, the CISSP, and it can go on and on and on and on and on. Well, if a firm doesn't value that, and a firm only values a CPA, then of course they want to go get the CPA license. So they're trying to solve it through the licensing without, in my opinion, and I'll stand alone on this, they're not dealing with the real issue. So those modules, is that if I'm an IT person, I don't ever have to know what it means to opine on financial statements, but I can do run data analytics and, you know, do some fancy projections and, you know, forecasting, and that's going to be enough to be a CPA. My personal opinion is that we're getting away from what it means to be a CPA, which is you only get to do one thing as a CPA that nobody else in this world gets to do. One thing, and that's opine on financial statements. That is not, you know, while you go in and in order to opine today, you have got to have some IT savviness and be able to audit through the computer and understanding that. But you're getting away from, in my opinion, what it means to be a CPA. And I just personally feel like it's diluting the credential, and I'm really disappointed in seeing the direction that it's going. But Scott has a really good point, and that is that, you know, you've got states out there that all have to embrace this and accept it as how we're going to go forward. And in the room, there was huge debate about whether IT people really want to be CPAs or not. One person said yes. The rest of the room was absolutely not. That's ridiculous. It was very heated, very charged, a lot of emotion in the room. But I think basically, I think they're going forward with it regardless. So,
and I don't know if you had the chance to read the principles, but Charles says, I think I've heard you say that you're agreeing with 1 through 3 and then opposing 4 and 5. So, we're, you know, in my opinion, I'm okay with 1 and 2, 3. I have a little bit of an issue with, because it's asking us to try and sustain the profession. As regulators, we're not trying to sustain the profession and grow the profession. We need to regulate the profession. So, but I'm in agreement with principles 4 and 5. And if you're not familiar with them, principle 4 says, the profession and therefore entry into the profession must be redesigned to attract individuals with technological and analytical expertise. This includes non-CPA professionals whose technology and analytic skills are critical to the performance of assurance and other core services, as well as non-accounting major students. All must demonstrate minimum required competencies necessary to perform professional accounting services as a CPA.
As a comment to that, you know, this one is focused on data analytics and technology, and the question to come up with actuaries and engineers who are, can be very involved in audits as well, but this is very focused on that, as opposed to saying, here are these people that for 50, 60, 100 years have been involved in audits, and data analytics and technology is coming on now, but here's these other people who've been involved in it. Doesn't seem to be a gateway for them. Why this subset has been pulled out of that, I don't know, but that was a point that caught my attention.
And then guiding principle 5 is very short, but I think we're probably agreeing on why we don't like it so much. Is the first sentence is, the changes must be rapid, transformational, and substantive without negatively impacting candidates currently in the pipeline. Changes to be rapid with the CPA exam that's been around for 100 years and has had its shifts with, you know, content or the way we've named them, the different sections, but this is a whole kind of revamp of mm-hmm. of the CPA exam, and I think rapid is not probably the best idea, mm-hmm. personally.
As a question, the common date was August 9th, but I think they also said that they kept it open for 20 later for boards that met after August 9th. Are we intending to develop any sort of a formal response from this board?
I think we should, but we would really need to have, you know, kind of a consensus of what you think about, you know, these principles. You know, there's some information in your packet that kind of explains what they're looking for. Matt, is there a general consensus of the board of?
So can you just read 1 through 5 again?
Sure.
So everyone has the same information.
So guiding principle 1, the CPA profession must adapt quickly due to the technological disruptions in areas such as data analytics, robotics, artificial intelligence, and more. As such, the competencies, services, and attitudes of CPAs need to continually evolve in order to protect the public interest. So So technology is growing, and technology is reaching out to the firms and CPAs, and so what they're saying is that we need to evolve with the way the world is changing.
Does anybody disagree with that?
Okay. That's changed, so.
Mm-hmm. Number two.
Number two, the CPA profession and state boards of accountancy recognize that technological and analytical expertise is essential to performing assurance work, as well as the other services that are currently or will be in the future core to professional accounting.
Anybody disagree?
Goes along with the changes. I mean, mm-hmm. pull something from 1930 and put them in this period, they're not going to know how to use Word, let alone probably turn on a computer.
Mm-hmm. Or recognize it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Number three is the CPA profession and state boards of accountancy acknowledge that sustaining the profession and continued public protection require rethinking initial licensure requirements.
I don't. So, and that's the one where now we start getting into where we kind of disagree. While I totally agree with, you know, we've got to embrace technology and where technology is going, that doesn't mean that you should take away what it means to be a CPA.
We're not like a business where we're trying to a growth rate of 2 or 3% more CPAs than last year. I don't understand where that's coming from.
Right, and from what I've read, stakeholders were surveyed, not clients. Like, I don't think clients think the CPA profession is dying by any means,
no.
You know, and I don't think that they even think about the IT guys in the back room doing their analytics. That's not what a client's going to think about, in my opinion. So I don't know about public protection and requiring rethinking. Yeah, see, because this is initial licensing requirement. That goes beyond the exam, too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to try, you know, that will be a whole new way of how we run our licensing department.
Just, again, from the regional meeting, that question came up as far as, you know, are we as regulators responsible for sustaining the organization and whatnot? And the person that you had mentioned, in my opinion, you got a little defensive and said, well, we had to come up with some language to keep everybody happy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's how we worded it. Again, kind of my phrasing of what the person said.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think the rapidly part bothers me the most, because that's when you mess things up.
Mm-hmm.
Number four. The profession, and therefore entry into the profession, must be redesigned to attract individuals with technological and analytical expertise. This includes non-CPA professionals whose technology and analytic skills are critical to the performance of assurance and other core services, as well as non-accounting major students. All must demonstrate minimum required competencies necessary to perform professional accounting services as a CPA.
So that's one I take exception to, is why are they picking out one particular profession, being people with an IT or data mm-hmm. analytics? I have a professional degree, and I think my professional degree meshes nicely with the CPA. So why are we picking one profession as opposed to others? I just think that's a dangerous road.
Mm-hmm.
Doctors, lawyers all have a basic core exam. And I may not practice criminal law, but I sure as heck have to know it just to get through the doors. So medical students, the same, you know. You've got different things that they may want to do, but they all have to pass a basic core competency. So this idea of going technology route, I understand the importance of technology, but to change the core of the exam, yeah, I don't see the point.
Well, this goes back to my comments earlier about there are enough certifications in the IT world to, you know, when you're evaluating that person and their value, they have a whole alphabet behind their name that shows their IT competencies. how much of this is a problem with firms only valuing the three-little letters CPA and not valuing the other credentials. To me, that if you changed that, we might not be having this conversation today.
Well, and I don't know if you remember, but there also was chatter that in order to be a CPA firm, you have to have this, you know, 51% ownership. And if your analytic people start
outweigh
the CPAs, you know, they need to keep those numbers right so that they can still be a public accounting firm.
And I think that was part of it, too, is that while these people may be valued at CPA firm, they couldn't become partners in certain firms.
That's the whole issue. Yeah. Yeah. So if I can't become a partner being a CISA and a CISSP and the all CISM and all that kind of stuff, well, then just make me into a CPA so then I can be a partner. But that's not where their passion is. You know, that's their expertise in all that is in IT, not being a CPA. Again, firms need to revalue those certifications. You know, if this is really what's important to us, why can't you just value it? And I don't know. So anyways, okay, keep going, Kim.
And the last principle, guiding principle, is number 5, the changes must be rapid, transformational, and substantive without negatively impacting candidates currently in the pipeline.
What about negatively impacting CPA society as a whole?
Yeah, the CPAs as a whole, yeah.
Get in a big hurry, you mess it up. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, and, you know, impacting the current pipeline, the pipeline moves every single day, and we're, they have a lot to figure out.
So Kim, are you proposing, like, putting together a draft and sending it out to the board members, or are you just going to do it and send it out, or?
I can certainly draft something. If everybody wants to see it before I send it, I can do that. I can send it to you. However you guys want me to do it, I'm happy to.
You guys want to see a draft?
Sure. If it's written on her behalf, we probably should, yeah.
I think so. So if you send that, and just remember, everybody, when you respond and make comments to Kim, just reply directly to her. I mean, you can include Angie on it. Just don't include the other board members.
Yeah, I'll remind you.
Okay.
Thank you.
CPE Fields of Study and Statement on Standards Exposure Draft.
This I have looked at. I think Julie and I, we went through this some months ago. So, and I believe, so they want comments if we want to make comments by August 31st. But we have implemented a lot of, or some of these things into our proposed rules that we will give you hopefully in October, like the nano learning, the blended learning, the different categories that they do. I can't remember what we've done now, but it's been a while. But I guess the big picture is we didn't see anything too alarming with the CPE standard changes that they're making. They seem acceptable and not too out there. So we've kind of taken the liberty of putting them in our rules that you guys can look at when that time comes. Okay?
Certification.
This is Jerry. Yes. Okay. So Jerry McReynolds, he never was a CPA, but we did find some violations for him, and he never paid. And so he's been over at the Department of Revenue for quite some time, and we just got notice that he has passed away. So in order to kind of clean up our books, we're asking for you to write off the debt, which is $10,687. That includes the interest. And I will have you sign it if the board agrees to write off this debt.
I make a motion to write off the debt owed to the board by Jerry McReynolds.
I'll second it.
Any discussion? All in favor to write off, state aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? All right.
The 2019-21 Affirmative Action Plan is just for your reading pleasure. It was approved. We had to make one tiny little correction, but that's just because I have not versed in all the different things they do. So that's our adopted affirmative action plan, and once it's approved, I'll put it on the board website as well.
I make a motion to approve the 2019-2021 affirmative action plan as presented to us.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? All in favor of adoption state aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Madam Chair, can we go back up to 13B because I think we skipped it, the DOJ agreement. So there's a little memo in your packet with some graphs and all that fun stuff. But basically, when we were first developing our budget for this last session, we were told there was our flat rate was, you know, above, we'd overspent, and so they were calculating what it would be, and we had were required to ask a larger number than we actually ended up needing. So we increased the line item 125,984. That includes inflation for hourly fees over at DOJ. The reason the first estimate of our flat rate was so much higher is that as a whole, the Department of Justice put in their budget that every agency would pitch in towards the child advocacy cases. But once they got to the legislature, I think they found out that it doesn't affect all of us, and so they carved that back out, and I think that's why we ended up with the lower amount. They are also, they used to calculate their flat rate on just three biennium. Now they're just doing the past 4 years, so they have more current information, because what we did 9 years ago may be very different than what we're doing now. So I'm happy with it. I talked to the person that drafted our flat rate agreement, and I was just asking her a question. She goes, "You're the only person that hasn't yelled at me." But it seems reasonable. But if there's any questions, or if you are okay to enter into this flat rate agreement, I will need a vote, and I'll have you sign the...
Well, first, can we ask Angie to quit charging our time to us then?
You need to leave now.
Yeah. Can you pick some other agency to just stack the time on
there? Yeah, I've got a lot to other agencies.
I make a motion to accept the DOJ flat rate agreement as presented to us.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? All in favor state aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Okay, so the request for reinstatement, Jennifer Hurley, I believe that was in your supplemental material. So let me get over there. So this one is a little different, and what happened was Jennifer, quite some time ago, looks like back in 2008, she let her license lapse, and at that time we didn't have the rule where it says beginning in 2012 you only can relapse for 6 years and then we're going to expire you, right? So the rule went into effect in 2012, but we didn't implement it until 6 years down the road. So our first batch of expiring lapsed people who had been 6 years or more lapsed was in 2018. She never got the notice. Well, we sent her the notice that licenses lapsed more than 6 years are going to expire, but she didn't keep up her address because she really wasn't required to necessarily keep her address up to date. So she was not aware of this rule. She, before she even went lapsed, she had called the office and said, "When I'm ready to reinstate, what do I need to do?" We explained the process that it was at that time, which didn't include the six-year cap. She's asking for an exception to let us reinstate her to active status. And I feel like she did her due diligence at the beginning of this whole piece.
And we gave her advice.
And we advised her that it would be fine, not knowing that, you know, a few years down the road we'd be changing our idea on that. And I think she did act in good faith, and I, you know, if I were king of the world, I'd say we should let her reinstate. There's still a lot of things she has to do to reinstate her license. It's 176 CPEs, some back renewal fees. So it's not just easy as saying yes. There's a lot of work she has to do to get there, too. So
she did not keep her address updated, but although she still is a licensee, so you can. But also, is there any exception in the rules or statute that would allow this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
the board can find that if you think that there's a determination of good cause to let her do that.
Well, but I am dismayed because, yeah, she did check with it, but laws change all the time. And just picking a weird example, you build an estate plan and the laws change and then you die and somebody's going to get mad because you didn't update the estate plan because the law is now different. She did not stay in touch with it. Technically, she's still a licensee and lapsed. So she, in theory, has a violation for not giving us an address change. I understand the situation, but I'm not inclined to grant it personally.
So you'd be happy if we assessed her $100?
No, I'm willing to waive that. But but I mean, yeah, she got advice back then, but the world changes.
I totally understand, but I understand. But generally speaking, lapsed licensees do not keep us updated with their license. I mean, not that that's right, but you know, it's common. So
I wouldn't have a problem with the situation where she did check with the board at the time and got the rules and followed those rules. Yes, they change, but it's not like the tax laws. You get a new book every year.
When did it lapse?
Last year.
Well, it expired. It lapsed in 2012.
It lapsed in 2000. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Scott on this one. I just feel, what has she been doing?
Raising children.
So she hasn't even been in the profession, hasn't kept up on any of the standards.
Well, that's what the CPE is for reinstating, is to get them back up to speed. That's the purpose of the reinstatement.
So 100 hours?
176 hours.
176 more than that, though.
you answer the phone and people say 176.
No, I mean, that's a month's worth. That's more than a month's worth of CPE.
She's got, well, let's think about this. If you were active, doing everything that you should from... She let it lapse. So let's see. I'm getting the timing wrong. You said 2008. What happened?
She let her license lapse.
Okay. So then she wasn't doing CPA from 2008, and now we're 2019.
Correct.
So that's 11 years.
That's correct.
Okay. And every 2 years would be 80 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Seems like it should be more CPA.
That's the math I was doing in my head.
Although probably some of the CPE she took in 2009, she would have taken, is already done, and new stuff would have to be taken its place because if things do change. But
well, there does come a point, like, when you've been out of it for so long, I mean, you're basically starting over anyway. I mean, I don't know, what is she wanting to do? Do we even know that? Or is she just...
I think she said her kids were growing, and she's ready to back to work. And that was her life plan, basically.
Oh, she wants to, looks like she wants to go inactive first.
I think that was a result of talking to, like, she wants to go active, but she put out a timeline to go inactive, like, to come into compliance really quickly. I think that was why she said inactive first, because she called and asked questions recently about getting a reinstatement application. And we had to say... I think that statement though was her throwing out the option to do it quickly, like to get back in good graces quickly and then get on the right path. Because did she say like September or something? Like
October 31st.
Okay, super quick.
So 40 hours a week. For 4.3 weeks.
Not a 4 hours a week for
4.33 weeks. So yeah, a month's worth of CPE. Full time. Full time studying to get your CPA license back.
Or pushing the button and getting it done in one day. we've had people do that.
Well, I mean, if this is something that's an exception to the rule, you can put parameters on. You know, you can limit her self-study, you can make her take some live classes, whatever you want to do, because it is an exception to the rule of allowing her to come out of expired status. And I agree, some of the self-study is a
can
take 80 hours in one day. So, you know, if you're willing or interested in letting her reinstate, you can put some parameters around that too. So
make her repeat.
She
position and take her away, or take away her ability to do audits, reviews, you know, that type of stuff. And that would cut back the scope of her practice to simple financial and tax returns, which would be more where she would be suited, I would think, at that point.
Can we do that?
I don't know.
I don't know that either.
But that's, you know, Eastern Oregon. We call it
CPA restricted when we do that, like kind of after the fact, like, you know, if we're letting not allowing a CPA to do audit, we call it a restricted license.
Yeah. OAIA was looking at the PA license a number of years ago, and one of the things that we got some good feedback on from Eastern Oregon was they have a lot of people out there who, for one reason or another, go out or don't get into the practice till late in life. And they can't make it through the whole CPA process, but yet they could still become PAs, which gives them a higher billing figure out of the company that they would go to work for. And some of the small firms out there are really kind of excited about that idea. It really hasn't developed, but I'm just saying that's, you know, do we have something of that available? You say restricting might be the same opportunity.
So why don't we address the first issue, is that does anybody want to make a motion for allowing her to reinstate her CPA license?
I make a motion to allow her to reinstate her license with a copy that's around $176.
What does that mean?
Basically, can define where we want to allow her.
What
so many self-study. Yeah.
So I think there's two different things there. One is whether or not we want to allow her to reinstate it. The second would be, how do we want her to reinstate it? If the first answer is yes,
okay,
then how? So do you want to consider restating that?
I make a motion to allow her to reinstate her license, or allow us to reinstate her license.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Further discussion? Okay, all in favor of allowing her to renew her license, state aye.
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 Those opposed?
Nay.
Nay.
So we have Joe as a yes, and who else?
Jason.
Jason.
That takes away the second part.
It does. All right, old business, looks like there's none. Public comment? None? Okay. Flipping the page, look at us, we're on page 3.
Getting there.
All right, qualifications committee.
Yes, that's mine. Right. We have 5 candidates who have been properly vetted and approved by the committee and passed on to this board to allow them to qualify for the CPA license. Therefore, I'm making a motion to approve the 5 persons listed as CPA persons.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor, state aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Okay. It looks like there's a consideration or process change for qualification committee applicants.
Yes, thank you. Do you know about this already?
No.
Okay. I think this was my idea. So when an applicant applies for a license and they go through the attest path or the tax path, we approve them in-house and we license them as soon as it's gone through all the different stages of our process, right? With QC applicants going through industry, we do the initial, you know, application, make it all, you know, make sure everything's there. We submit it to the qualifications committee, who meets 5 times a year. If they approve that applicant, they have to then wait till our next board meeting. So it could be a 6-7 month process between initial application and board vote. And so I'm wondering if the QC approves, because you're not even getting the detail on any of these applicants. You're not seeing their application. You might read the summary, but it's not like a BOAC case where we're digging into all the details. I'm wondering if once the QC approves them for licensing, if we can issue them and then add them to the ratification list rather than making them wait all those other extra weeks to get to the board. It's just an idea.
So would that be an expansion, in essence, of delegated authority?
Well, I don't know, because the QC has approved it. And we are approving licenses every day in our office, so I don't know if it's an expansion of that due to we're already...
So Andy, what would it take for us to accomplish that, Angie, I guess?
I'm thinking of that myself. I'm pretty sure, so the way that it works with the BOAC ones, it's just that, you know, they make that determination, it gets ratified.
Well,
we don't actually do anything about it though until the board ratifies it.
But if they go from an inquiry to opening a case, we don't take it to the board for approval. That we just open a case.
Right.
So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think it needs to be an expansion of the delegated authority. I think if it was a denial, it would be different.
Yeah.
But it's not a denial. There are approvals. So I guess the hard part is that if so for some reason something came before the board and. I don't know if that's ever happened, where the board has decided not to approve.
Well, I guess the question would be is what sort of approval does this board need to give, whether it be in a motion or whatever, to start that process where the QC qualified people are treated equivalent to the coming through the public accounting firm tracks?
And just to put a little bit of substance to it, too, and we remember when we used to have the CPE committee? Mm-hmm. And they would approve muni auditors, okay. And then we would ratify those at the end too. So it's kind of the same thing; it's just a different committee.
And what did we do at that point to grant that authority to staff?
I don't know. I was in charge then.
Well, I think this is more of a ratification of what the QC, because we're not looking at them; we're not really reviewing them beyond what the QC does. And watching them, this is my first time to have seen them, and they did quite a thorough job of vetting these people out.
They do.
And not everybody makes it.
Right.
So I think I think we can basically pass them along to them with us ratifying it at our next meeting.
And I don't have a problem with that. I guess I'm just trying to find out what, if anything, this board has to do to authorize that process to happen. Or it just takes place next time we meet.
And would this be for approvals only, right? Niles
yes.
would still come forward?
Right.
Just being clear.
And these people are not performing audits or anything on their own. They're working for Nike. They're working for whatever companies are on our list that have been approved to have a program.
So then will their certificates still come to the board to be signed?
Mm-hmm. Everything's the same. I mean, really, like Steve said, we're pretty much ratifying them anyway because
mm-hmm.
you're not looking at anything but a name.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's just efficiency.
Other thoughts?
So I'm fine with it. I'm just trying to find out what needs to happen to implement it.
Yeah.
If anything. Maybe we need to do nothing other than give consensus that we're okay with it.
Well, the other thing is they're not going out and doing tax returns, more likely, because of where they're working. I mean, they're getting their CPA certificate. Time is not quite the same essence, I think, as when you've got the beginning of tax season and these people have passed, they want to get going and get hired by a firm that will give them a job. And so they really want that certificate pretty quickly. I'm not saying hold theirs up. I'm just saying I don't think it's quite the same urgency as what you have with those that are doing it through the regular method. I have no problem with approving them and just ratifying, but I don't feel the pressure like I do with the other people.
I make a motion to grant to staff the ability to issue a tentative license for individuals coming through the qualification committee subject to ratification by the board at a future board meeting.
I can second that.
Any further discussion? All in favor state aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
Thank you.
Okay, ratification requests, CPA certificates and permits.
I make a motion to ratify the tentative CPA licenses issued to the individuals as indicated on agenda item 18A.
I'll second it.
Any discussion? All in favor state aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
I make a motion to ratify the tentative firm registrations issued to the firms presented to us in agenda item 18B.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? All in favor state aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
I make a motion to ratify and admit to the municipal roster the individuals presented to us on agenda item 18C.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? All in favor state aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? All right. 19, CPA examination performance Q1 and Q2 for 2019.
Do you want to talk about the exam piece?
The 19?
Mm-hmm.
It's just the steps that we, just informational.
It was interesting. I noted that the both quarters, Oregon was, one was 30th in the nation as far as passing, and then the other one was 35th. Whereas I think the last set of statistics we had, we were in the top 10%. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
if I'm not mistaken, or at least in the top 10.
Top 10, yeah.
And now the state as a whole is less than in the lower half as far as passing rate. I did note that.
Okay.
I don't know what that means. It's just interesting.
We like to enjoy the sun during the summer because we don't get it very often, so they're not testing. Maybe that's it.
Okay. Laws and Rules Committee, the summary is informational only. Is there anything that needs to be added?
No, we will have our next meeting here in a few weeks in September. We will be doing hopefully our last two divisions, which is 30 and 50. Then that will have covered all of the divisions, and we will then after that meeting we'll try and reschedule another one to just pick up on all of the things that we still need to kind of hash out, which there are a few. And then hopefully bring those to you, or most definitely bring those to you in October for review. And any comments, and then we can kind of finalize and go through that next step.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Any other matters before we adjourn?
I guess just as a question, at this point, does staff anticipate it will be a 2-day meeting in October? We have 2 days scheduled, but any best guesses at this point?
I thought this one was going to last longer. I think we're doing really good. I do know that in October we won't have as much compliance cases. We'll have maybe a big one, but other than that, I think I will have a better answer in a little bit, but my guess right now could be a 1-day.
Okay.
Does anybody have a preference whether that's a Thursday or a Friday?
And then can I have one more question?
Mm-hmm.
Did you all have a chance to look at that ethics? I know you did, Jason, because you contacted me, the ethics module.
I looked through it, yeah.
What did you think?
I thought it was well done.
Mm-hmm.
As far as that particular module applying to the people we wanted to apply to, I didn't think it was appropriate for that, but that is only one module of I don't know how many there are.
Right.
It was interesting they had us look at that one. They authorized us to look at that one, but as I say, I thought it was a well-done process. I don't know the value that module would have to the folks that we want to get in compliance with ethics.
Right, which is pretty much what Jason said too. What it was I had to really bend some fingers to get them to even give us access to that module. So.
That's weird. They want us to buy it, but they're not going to give us a preview of it.
Yeah.
You can't test drive it, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, but that's what I have. So, did any of you look that
up? I haven't had a chance.
Okay. No. So when you get a chance, if you want to give me feedback, basically we can implement it and see how it goes or not. So I'm just kind of just looking for feedback on that. Okay.
Okay, any remaining items? Good, all right, so we will adjourn our board meeting. It is 4:08.
There are certificates to sign.
Yes. Yeah, so